Did these readings today make you just a little uncomfortable? I know they sure made me uncomfortable. And I have to ask, because they're intended to make us actually very uncomfortable. If they didn't, we wouldn't pay attention. We'd miss the important opportunity to consider where it is in our lives that we need to make some changes. God's always calling us to transformation in all kinds of ways. Today is no different. Today, our scriptures focus on forgiveness. And they focus on reconciliation. The gospel challenges us to never stop seeking reconciliation. How many times must I forgive my brother? Peter asks. 7 times? And it's kind of funny because that may already seem like a lot. But Jesus is like, no, Peter, not 7 times, but 77 times. In other words, as many times as we have to. Because it's not about how many times we forgive. It's about why we forgive. Because being reconciled with one another is essential in the kingdom of God. If we refuse to forgive, we're choosing to let separation win. Forgiveness is so important to us that Jesus literally died on the cross to show us. And what did he say on that cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But why don't we forgive? In that first reading from Sirach, we hear that wrath and anger are hateful things. Yet the sinner hugs them tight. And how true this can be. Sometimes we don't forgive because we're angry and we won't let go of our anger. We just hang on to it because the one that hurt us, well, he deserves it. Maybe he does. But so what? Hanging on to anger and bitterness deprives us more than anyone else. It deprives us of peace. It deprives us of love. It deprives us of reconciliation and of unity. But many of us struggle with this very thing. So when we hear these scripture passages, yeah, we're feeling just a little uncomfortable. Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So a question, how many times do we want the Lord to forgive us? How many times have we taken the same sins to the confessional? The Lord doesn't say, oops, that's 78. Sorry, went over the limit, not forgiving that one anymore, right? He doesn't do that, of course not. His love is unconditional. His forgiveness is unconditional. His willingness to reconcile is eternal. So how then can we make our forgiveness conditional? You know, like I'll forgive her when she apologizes. Or maybe not. I'll forgive her when she apologizes to my satisfaction. Maybe not that either. When she apologizes on her knees in great humility, right? The longer we hang on, what happens? The price keeps growing bigger and bigger. So let it go. Today's gospel holds a mirror up to us. The debtor, he wanted forgiveness for a debt that he couldn't possibly pay. And he received it from the master. But then he turns around and refuses to forgive the debt of a fellow servant who owed him a much smaller sum. And we immediately realize the injustice of this. But this is us. This gospel is a mirror. How many times do we refuse to forgive, choose not to reconcile, choose not to recognize what is just and act on it, even though we have been forgiven so unconditionally by God, even though we have been blessed so abundantly by God, even though his desire is that we all might be one, even as he and the Father are one. Justice demands that we forgive and that we reconcile. So how do we forgive? St. Paul, in our second reading, he reminds us of a very simple truth. We are Christians, so none of us lives for oneself, and no one dies for oneself. If we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord, he says. We don't live for ourselves. Think about that for a minute. If that's true, that we don't live for ourselves, then if someone wrongs us, it really isn't of any accord, is it? And if we die for the Lord, and the Lord died for others, then we die for others. We die to ourselves for the sake of others. Which others? All others, including those who are different from us, those who offend us, those who harm us, even those who may hate us. All of these are loved by God. So we die to ourselves and offer forgiveness free of conditions, free of charge. Like Jesus, we die to ourselves so that others might live. Forgiveness brings reconciliation and restoration and healing. And in our world, our nation, our community, it's so in need of that restoration and that healing right now. As baptized Christians, we share in Christ's mission of reconciliation, but we can't share it if we don't own it. So today we're asked to take a look inward, to see where we are, and to change if we must, because every one of us has room for improvement. A few minutes ago in our penitential rite, we confessed that we have sinned, and we said in things that we have done and in things that we have failed to do. What we have done, that's usually pretty apparent. We see that. But the things we have failed to do aren't as obvious. We aren't aware of what we choose not to see. But if we choose not to see it because we choose not to look around, then we have no excuse. And if we fail to help someone because we fail to pay attention to their needs, then that's on us. And we sin by ignoring the opportunity to be ministers of reconciliation, by choosing not to heal the wounds in our community, by ignoring the wounds in the body of Christ. So what are the things that we might not be paying attention to? In our community, there are injustices of all sorts. Injustices in the body of Christ. But today, we're going to consider racial injustice, since it's such a divisive topic in our world right now. And our church has some pretty clear teachings on social justice to help us think it through. There are a few fundamental pillars that she offers us in the Catechism. The first and the foundation of all is the dignity of every human person. Every person, without exception, she says, is created in God's image and likeness and is endowed with inviolable dignity from the moment of conception until natural death. That's the foundation of all. The second pillar is the notion of common good. Those words, common good, it really means just social conditions which allow people, whether in individuals or groups, right, allow people to reach their fulfillment more fully and more easily. So we have this obligation to help create a society that's just, that's equitable, a society where everyone can flourish, not just some, but everyone. And the third notion, the third pillar, is solidarity. This is the recognition that anyone who differs from us by race or language or culture, economic means, whatever other ways, they are in fact our brothers and our sisters. We are bound together by a common call to friendship with God. And we must have a special love for those who are poor, for those who are vulnerable, and for those who are oppressed. The church's social teachings challenge us to open our eyes and see where the body of Christ is suffering, and then to seek to heal. But as we said in our penitential rite, there are things that we have failed to do. And sometimes these are the ones that are hardest for us to see. Sometimes they're hardest to face. And often they're the hardest to reconcile. Things we have failed to do, like choosing not to be aware that we have brothers and sisters in Christ suffering in communities that do not have access to fresh food or good jobs or safe schools or safe streets, that there are those that do not have the same means as you and I or the same opportunities. The Catholic principles of human dignity, common welfare, and solidarity call us to be aware and call us to respond as best we can. About 20 years ago, when I was preparing to be a deacon, I had an opportunity to visit a Head Start center in the city. It was one of those after-school programs for youngsters that give them extra assistance, a safe place to be after the regular school day, until mom or dad or grandparents had a chance to pick them up. One of the little ones, who was the last of the bunch, there were several, but one of them was sort of standing in the back, very shy, and after all the rest had said their hellos, he came up very timid. He couldn't have been yet 5 years old. He said to me, "Hi, my name is Michael." And he just looked up at me. It was a simple thing, but it was very profound. Because you see, and what I recognized immediately, he wanted to be known by name. He wanted to be a person that was worthy of an individual interaction. He had a need to know that he was worth it. All of us are aware that our cities seem more dangerous than ever these days. But sometimes we don't think of those living in those dangerous communities as individuals. We rationalize that they are a group, a demographic. Maybe even they've done it to themselves. But they're not individuals like you and I. Individuals like Michael that have names and that have stories. That squeegee kid, he has a name. His name is John. That thug in the protest march, her name is Latoya. And the reason she's marching is because her brother suffered. That homeless guy under the bridge, he has a name too. His name is David. We all have names. We all have stories. And we all have one common condition. We're loved so desperately by God that he was willingly crucified and died on a cross so that we might be saved. He died for John. He died for Latoya. He died for David and little Michael. And he died for you and for me. He died so that love might win. Dearly beloved, there is no time like now to forgive. There's no time like now to seek forgiveness. There is no time like now to reconcile or to heal the wounds of sin and division. We must become aware of what we do, and we must become aware of what we fail to do. We are offered forgiveness. Let us not withhold it from others who so desperately need it. We have been given opportunity. Let us not accept when others in other races and communities do not have it. We are shown dignity. Let us work to make sure that all of God's children, especially the oppressed and the vulnerable, are shown dignity as well. And we are offered love. Let us be the first to ask where it is missing and seek a way to make it known. Let us become informed. Let us become aware. Let us support and practice social justice. Let us live and love in solidarity with God's beloved, whoever and wherever they may be, and especially those most in need. In the end, let us prayerfully consider and then employ some very good advice given many centuries ago by St. John of the Cross. He said this: where there is no love, put love, and then you will find it.